until we see Christ. Romans chapter number 8. If you don't have the little sheet that I had available and you'd like one of those, we have extras. If you'd raise your hand and they'll put one of those in your hand, just okay, right over here, I think. Right over here, I see some. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, good, good, good. Right down front. Right down front is one. Okay, they're looking. Right over here, Cheryl and Sherry. He's coming to you, Sherry, I think. He's coming to you. Romans chapter number 8. Secrets of our salvation. This is message number 4 in that series of chapter 8. Messages from chapter 8 entitled Secrets of Our Salvation. Tonight, the secret of prayer. The secret of prayer. And two verses, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know, the more I know about the Bible, the more I should want to know God. But sometimes we just simply interpret that to say, the more I know about the Bible, the more I know about God. Now, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Knowing God is what you experience with Him in prayer. Knowing about God is what you experience in His Word. Knowing God is what you experience in your daily life as the Lord enables you, empowers you, blesses and works through you. And you have this, like David. You remember David, whenever he said to King Saul, King Saul said, "You can't go against that giant Goliath." He said, "My God will take care of me, just like He took care of me with the lion and with the bear. God will take care of me with this uncircumcised Philistine as well." And so you get to know His faithfulness. You get to know Him, not just about Him. And may I suggest something to you about this thought of prayer as we begin? That you can read a lot of books about prayer. You can study a lot about prayer. John R. Rice wrote a classic about prayer. It's titled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And it's a great study on the subject of prayer. You know what most Christians would title that book as? Prayer, Asking and Hoping. Not Asking and Receiving. And tonight I want you to understand something, that when we come to God in prayer, in the way that He has provided for us, we can come with confidence. We can come in faith. We can come with assurance in our heart. And I'm going to tell you some things that are based on God's holy word that's right from Scripture, and hopefully be a blessing to your heart, give you confidence in your walk with Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You now that we can quiet our hearts, reminding ourselves that it'll be worth it all when we see You face to face. I ask You, Lord, that You would quiet the voices that could be in people's minds right now. They're wondering about how they're going to solve that situation in their family. Possibly they're wondering about the medical procedures that's coming up very soon. The test results that they're awaiting. How they're going to handle the financial need in their life. All these things are very real, Lord. They're very real. Lord, would You meet with us in a special way that we would sense Your presence. And Lord, we rely upon Your love and the relationship that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Speak through me, I pray. Lord, I'm a willing vessel. And I ask You, God, You'd help me to be a blessing. Lord, there are concerns upon my heart, even right now. But Lord, that even does not even enter in. I ask you now to take this yielded vessel and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to make much of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. A lot of you carry a cell phone. And I'm going to see about something here. I'm going to actually see if I can reach somebody. How about that? Well, you know what? This is a great illustration. I just tried to call Jim Lyle, and he's got his phone off, I assume. That's a good guy. There you go. Okay, I got you. Very good. Let me just make a comparison for a moment. Can I do that? God is always in reach to hear your prayer. Have you ever tried to call somebody? I tried to call them the first time, and it just didn't go through. There might have been some interference. Might have been, you know, maybe you pay for a cell phone for your family, and you can never reach those that you want to reach. Does that get under your skin a little bit? You know, pick up your phone. I pay a monthly bill. God is always in reach to hear your prayer. Psalm 139. It's a great passage. Psalm 139 in the book of Psalms. And where can we go from God's presence? He's always in reach. He's never out of range. Second, God is always ready to receive your prayer. He's always ready. Call unto me. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There are times that you call somebody and it rings and rings and rings and rings, and you know that they're probably talking to somebody else on the phone. Or perhaps they're talking to somebody face to face. Or maybe they just don't even want to talk to you. And they don't pick up the phone. They're in reach, but they choose not to talk to you. God said, you call me, I'll answer you. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is always ready to receive your prayer. Third, God is always able to answer your prayer. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. He's always ready to answer, always able. He is omnipotent. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. So with this kind of thought in mind about prayer and calling upon Him, let's look at our text verses again now. Verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Make sure that when you're studying the Bible, that you pay attention to the words. The word likewise, what is it referring to? It's got to be referring to something. If you see a word says therefore or thus or because or something like that, it's connecting a thought. So let's go back, turn back a few verses here. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation, I circled the word groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Groaning, travailing. Does that ring a bell with any ladies? Oh. Okay. Groaning, travailing. About to deliver something. And the Bible says that just as nature itself, the world, the creation, just as that is, that sin-cursed world is looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, and even before that, when Jesus is going to pull the curse off this world, 1,000 years with no curse, 1,000 years where the lion can lay down with the lamb, where a child can play with a snake, a serpent, and not be harmed, all that kind of thing. And things are getting worse and worse. The world is, people are saying the world is dying. Hey, guess what? Yeah, absolutely. It's been sin cursed. And then it's further cursed by mankind and our actions and all that kind of thing. And he says, just like that, and just like we as Christians are looking forward to the resurrection and a new body. Verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, let me make sure and understand that we understand something here. The Bible is not telling us that we need to groan when we pray. Okay? In fact, these are not necessarily even groanings which are heard. Okay? It says it's groanings which cannot be uttered. But the Spirit of God knows our heart and knows the pain and delivers that to the throne of grace when we don't know for or know what we should pray for. Write down these three words in the margin if you will. Here they are. The first word is infirmities. Infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our need. Our need. You know why some people don't pray? Because they don't feel they need to. You heard about the husband and wife, didn't you? That the wife came to the husband and said, honey, we need to pray about our finances. And he says, is it that bad? Has it come to that? We got to pray about it? Listen, folks, sometimes God allows us to come to the end of ourselves so that we can come to Him. Sometimes we just live our life as a human being in our own strength, in our own wits, with our own ability, just simply because we don't need God. And a person that's a saved believer in Jesus Christ can go day upon day, weekend upon weekend, and really not have any meaningful prayer with God. It happens. It happens all across the churches across America. I think it happens in Volusia County Baptist Church. If we don't have a reason to pray, and folks, listen, God can give us a reason to pray. God can help us with that. But God is not mean. Isn't willing love much better? How do you get to know someone? You spend time with them. You spend time with them in prayer. Spend time with the Lord in prayer. In our infirmities. If you want to jot down this reference, or if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We oftentimes feel like that we have to explain everything to God, convince God, and get everything, you know, out there to Him, because He doesn't know what's going on, and we know what's best, and we want Him to do what we're telling Him to do. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is speaking here, and verse number 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. Well, preacher, if that's the case, if the Lord knows what we need before we even ask Him, then why really, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but why do we need to pray? Ah, there you go. You've come to the main point right there. You see, every day the Lord Jesus got alone and prayed to the Heavenly Father. And if He needed to do that every day and spend season of time in prayer, if He needed that, then I certainly do. And you certainly do too. And so sometimes if things are going well, you know, I was talking with somebody today, and they said that they went to their doctor, and the doctor was a wonderful doctor. And the most encouraging thing about the doctor is that whenever they first met him and getting ready to do things and whatever, he would say, now, can I pray with you? Can we have a word of prayer? That's encouraging, isn't it? That's great. And But the person told me, he said, the last time I went to the doctor, everything was fine, everything was good. And you know, my doctor didn't pray with me. And I kind of joked and I said, well, maybe the doctor thought everything was okay. You know, that's probably true painfully of Christians. Church members, that we don't pray if everything is good, everything's fine. Folks, it needs to be a matter of our life. Not because we need something from God, but because we want to be with God. See, the Bible says He already knows all the things that are going on in our life. He knows the things that we need, even before we ask Him. Fervent, meaningful prayer is a missing ingredient in our daily walk. We need to know, love, and worship God through prayer. So I hope you jotted down that word infirmities. The next word from our text here is ignorance. Now the word ignorance isn't there, but look at verse 26 again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now make sure that you understand the meaning of the word ignorant. This is not a derogatory term. You're ignorant. No, it's not a derogatory term using derogatory. It's just that You don't know what you should pray for as you ought. That's what he's saying. And if we don't know something, we're ignorant of it. We're ignorant of it. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Jot down that reference if you would. That's the passage where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember that? And he's praying and he prays this. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, say with me, not my will, but thine be done. Okay? Now, are you saying, Brother Mark, are you saying that Jesus didn't know what he should pray for as he ought? No, I'm not being irreverent, I'm not blaspheming. I'm saying this, that he was 100% human and 100% God. And that human side within him was saying, if there's any other way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He demonstrated for us what it's like to, for us, in our case, that we have two natures. We have an old sinful nature that Jesus did not have. We have an old sinful nature and we have a new nature of the Spirit of God within us. And so there are times that we come to a need in our life. Maybe we're praying about our youngster that's now an oldster and now has children of their own, maybe even grandkids of their own. And your heart is breaking and you're asking God, please do something. I'm not sure what to ask for. I don't know if you need to break out the blessing basket to get their attention. I don't know if you need to break out the 2x4 to smack them upside the head. God, I don't know if you want to use something in me, in my life, to try to get their attention. I don't know. But please, God, I trust you. I know you're going to do the right thing. I don't know how to pray. Holy Spirit, please bring this need. I'm not going to not pray because I don't know how to pray. I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to present my need before the throne. You see, the Holy Spirit is the priest in our heart, the intercessor from our heart. And then in heaven, there's an intercessor up there. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is our priest up there before the Father. So don't let ignorance, don't let the thought of, well, I don't know how I should pray. I don't know if I should pray to get the job or not get the job. I don't know what to pray. No, you just spend time focusing on God in your life and tuning in to his frequency and to seek his will. We're going to see that in just a few moments. So if you've got the word infirmities written down, you've got the word ignorance written down, and then the last word in the text there in verse 26 is intercession. The Bible says that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He intercedes. Someone wrote that beautiful song, and he's ever interceding to the Father for his children. Interceding for us. Now, The Holy Spirit knows how to present that. Verse 27 makes it very clear and plain once again. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is going to present your feeling, present your heart. How many of you have ever felt guilty because you felt like you were praying for a selfish request? I've done that. Felt guilty. Now, Lord, you know my heart. I really would like you to do this. And I don't see, you know, another way. It seems like that's the right thing to do. And boy, that would be great. That'd be wonderful. You know, God wants you to have an abundant life. He doesn't want you to just have a terrible existence. He wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says. Even in times of persecution, even in times of suffering, we can have the peace that passes all understanding. Even in the midst of a storm, we can have the master of the sea on the ship. And when you feel like you're all alone, Jesus comes walking on the water. All these things Jesus did, he demonstrated. You say, well, preacher, there have been times that I've asked for things and God did not answer them the way that I asked him. There are some reasons for that. Can I give you a couple? Sometimes we do ask for things. The Bible says that we ask amiss. We ask for selfish reasons. James chapter 4 and verse 3, if you're jotting down references, James 4, 3. For personal satisfaction. Personal satisfaction. Now, God, this is what I want. You have to understand that Israel did that, and they persisted, and they pushed God, and God granted their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Be careful about demanding things from God. God just might give it to you. You trust Him. Trust Him. Present your heart. Be honest about it. He already knows. Say, Lord, now this would be so good, but if this is not what's best for me, my family, my children, my grandkids, if this is not what's best, Lord, I trust you. You're going to do the right thing. Reasons why God may not grant our requests is because we ask for personal satisfaction. And then also because of personal sin. Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We're out of fellowship with the Lord when we're harboring unconfessed sin in our life. The heavens are brass to us. So there's a couple of reasons. But let me give you something here. Do you ever hear us pray? And many of us will close our prayer and say, and we thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of people think that, number one, that's like sincerely, it's like an end of a letter. Some people think it's magic words. That if you pray in Jesus, if you say in Jesus' name, that guarantees you that God will give you your request. Let me give you a couple of verses. John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14, 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, in my name. John 16, 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. John 16, 24. Throughout the Word of God, you'll hear this phrase, in my name, over and over again, New Testament, over and over. And it speaks of some things that you need to get a hold of, because God wants us to pray in Jesus' name. Whether you say in Jesus' name in the prayer is immaterial. You don't have to say in Jesus' name. Or you could be saying in Jesus' name and not be praying in Jesus' name. So let me describe that to you, if I may, and then they'll get to the front of your sheet there. To pray in Jesus' name, it speaks of our security that we have in His name, our security that we have in His name. Think of it this way: you've got a a bride who comes from a humble background marrying a very wealthy fiancé. And now she is married. Now she takes his name. She has rights to go to the bank. She can deposit, she can withdraw. Because now she bears her husband's name. Folks, there's security in the fact that we bear the name of Christ. We are Christians. We are born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have throne rights in his name. Our security in his name. Our standing in his authority. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Our standing in his authority. The Bible says in verse 20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Look at this verse. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors. We speak with the authority from God. That's what an ambassador is. Read on. "As though God did beseech you by us." Okay, we are ambassadors. We are representatives. We're the only hands that Jesus has in this world. Do you realize, do you understand that angels do not hand out tracts? Angels do not win souls. Angels do not preach messages. Now, angels do some marvelous things in our world, and I don't deny the presence of angels. There's God's angels, there's demonic angels, and if we could see with spiritual eyes, I believe that we might be shocked at what we'd see here in this room amongst us, because there are guardian angels sent by God to protect his people, protect his children, those that are heirs of grace. But folks, we have the responsibility to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his ambassadors. Did you hear about the little boy that he's about 9 years old? He picked up the policeman's hat and then he ran out in the street, put the hat on, and started directing traffic. And people saw him and stopped. Of course, there's a little kid out there in the road, but they saw the hat, and boy, were they confused, because the hat seemed to have authority. You know, that's a policeman's hat. Folks, you might think that you're a nobody. You might have been told all your life that you'll not amount to anything. But do you realize that in Jesus Christ, you're a child of the King? You realize that God looks at you and you have worth, you have value, you have authority. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying that you, in the fact that you have security in him, that you're a child of God. You may be bankrupt as far as every possible way, but he is everything. So when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm reminding myself that I don't have any reason to come to Jesus, any reason to come to God, any reason to come to my Heavenly Father, except through Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. And then that I have the authority of his name, standing in his authority. And number three, that his praying in Jesus' name reminds us of our submission to his will. You see, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry and example to us was his submission to the Father. Throughout the Gospels, you heard that over and over again, that he is submitting his will to the will of the Father. And then we submit our will to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where our strength, our guidance comes to him. Take your Bibles, please, and turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Okay, you have it there? The end of the chapter, the last three verses, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. He is our high priest, our intercessor in heaven. Verse 16, so let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't come boldly in anything of our own. We come boldly in Jesus' name, in the payment that he made. And the disciples, they asked Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had watched him in action. They had seen him over and over work great miracles from God. And when they tried to cast out demons, and the demons would not come out. And they said, Jesus, why could we not cast them out? And Jesus said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Lord, teach us to pray. The model prayer, often called the Lord's Prayer. I think that Pastor Jim Shetler even mentioned this when he was here. That the Lord's Prayer, it is actually a good example for us. A good example. And I gave you just three thoughts about that on your sheet there. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, if you want to flip over there. The Bible says in verse number 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If you're just wanting to simplify this, I jotted this down. Pray respecting God's name and willing to do his will. Hallowed be thy name. One person put it this way. They said that if you think of prayer as that you're a soldier on the front lines and you've got a walkie-talkie, and God is back at headquarters watching the whole thing transpire, and he sees all the battle. He's aware of everything, and he's giving you the directions on the front line. Now, that's probably a pretty good comparison of what prayer is. But here's the way we think of prayer usually. We usually think of prayer, Christians a lot of times think of prayer as that God is the butler and we've got a little intercom and we say, God, I need this. God, I want that. God, I want you to stop such and such. I want you to fix this. Instead, he's commander in chief, telling us what to do. Okay? So pray respecting God's name and for us to be willing to do his will. Read on. The Bible says in verse number 10, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the presentation of our heart for his will. His will. And then, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The second statement here. Ask for daily provision, forgiveness, and protection. That's simple enough, isn't it? If we recognize who God is, and we honor him as who he truly is, and then say, God, now I need your provision, I need your forgiveness, and I need your protection. Satan has crosshairs on believers, and were it not for God's protection, were it not for his watch care over us and not allowing more upon us than 1 Corinthians 10:13, then we can bear. Folks, I don't know how many Christians would be standing these days. So pray daily. Pray daily. Lord, you protect me. Lord, you provide for me. And Lord, help me to have the spirit of forgiveness. And you forgive me. And then look at the last part. The Bible says in verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Express faith in God's purpose, in God's strength and in God's authority. Now, here's where it really comes down to it. We're either going to believe that God is in charge or He's not. We're either going to live as if He is the one responsible for it all, or we won't. Express faith in God's purpose. So God, if you don't give me what I feel like I want, I'm going to trust that you have a greater purpose. Now, we're going to get into that next time. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. So I'm going to trust your purpose. I'm going to trust your strength. Now, remember this about the Lord. The Lord is rarely early. I mean, He's rarely early on His delivery of answers to prayer. Sometimes He's ahead, you know, of what we need, but rarely. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. And so, remind you of this, He's rarely early. He's never late. He's always on time. Say, preacher, I wish you were just a little bit early, you know, usually. I sweat it. I worry, you know, and I've seen what you're saying in my life. It's just when I needed it. I mean, and God said, and you got it just when you needed it? Yes. So? Well, I was worried you weren't going to do it. Why? And that's where you have the relationship with a holy, living God. And it's not all about showing up with your shopping list of your prayer requests. It's about spending time with Him and your heart loving on Him and being up so close to Him, you can almost hear His heart metaphorically. Okay? Express faith in God's purpose, strength, and authority. I'll leave you with this and we're done. 14 biblical requests to ask from God. Here they are, very quickly. Pray that the gospel would not be hindered. You can pray, Lord, I pray now that in this church service that the gospel of Jesus Christ would not be hindered. God, I pray that you would just keep everything from, keep the lights on and keep the sound working and Lord, give clarity to the preacher's mind to remember what you would laid upon his heart and for him to listen to you. Lord, may the gospel be unhindered. That is a biblical request that God will answer. Pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, that is not something that just automatically happens. You say, well, preacher, I thought that happened when you got saved. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit takes up residence. But is He a resident or is He the president? The president of your life is the filling of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you'll control my body. I yield myself to you. Lord, I pray that I would not do anything to grieve you. I pray that I would stay under your control, that sin would not be entered into my heart and my life. Pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Number three, pray that God would save unbelievers. That's always a prayer that you can pray. It's a biblical request. That's praying in Jesus' name, by the way, when you pray biblically. Number four, pray that God will heal Christians who are sick. You say, preacher, will God heal every Christian? Yes. Yes, He will. I got your attention, didn't I? He will heal every Christian. He'll heal them temporarily or He'll heal them permanently. But He's going to heal every Christian. Okay? Now, we don't view it that way. We think if someone dies that they lost. Well, for a Christian who dies, they win. Looking at it from their perspective and from God's perspective. But I've seen God do some miraculous things. By the way, God is still in the healing business today. God is still in the healing business today. Amen. He is. He is able. Number five, pray for the healing of unbelievers. Wait a minute. I thought that healing was based on a person's faith. Okay, I can take you scripture after scripture after scripture. Remember the guy that was let down by the ropes? The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith. I gave you a passage in Acts. Do you remember the ten lepers that came to Jesus? And he healed all 10 of them. Just, you know. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they all took off. One of them stopped, turned around, came back. And he said, you know, thank you for healing me, Lord. And he said, your sins are forgiven. So what you're saying is, in the Word of God, that those guys really didn't have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God and the Lord still healed them. You'll find the Lord healed people that weren't saved. So there's no promise for unsaved people to be healed. But here in Acts 28, verse 8, the Apostle Paul healed the guy that as a result of someone who took care of them and all that kind of thing. One person said this, and I'll just read through these real quick and we'll pray. He said this. He says, Christians, sometimes our prayer time is all about keeping people out of heaven. And I wonder how much prayer time we spend on keeping people out of hell. Praying for the lost to be saved. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pray for so-and-so with gallbladder and heart attack and all these things. We should, and we'll see that. But sometimes God, he has other plans. Number six, pray for other Christians. Number seven, pray for boldness to witness for Jesus Christ. Number eight, pray for the casting out of demons. I believe that we're possibly going to see more of this as time goes along. I don't look for it. I don't want it. But demonic activity is on the rise. Number nine, pray for miraculous deliverances. Peter was imprisoned and they were praying. Remember? Oh, dear God, please set him free. And they set him free and they didn't believe it. Number 10, pray for divine wisdom to know and to fulfill God's will. Pray that God will provide helpers for his work. Pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers in his harvest. Pray for unity and harmony in God's family. Jesus prayed not just for the disciples, but for those who would believe on his name, that they would be one. Pray for unity and harmony in God's family. Number 13, pray for strength and endurance. And number 14, pray for greater faith. There are 14 prayer requests that you can, according to God's holy word, you can pray for with confidence. With confidence. In Jesus' name, with submission to his will, but say, God, these things are based on your word. And this is not all of them. This is just a few that I kind of put together and hope be a blessing to our heart. The one that's not on there is this one. You can pray and ask Jesus to save you. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved, that is a prayer that Jesus Christ will answer. He's promised. He'll save you today. Heavenly Father, I pray now that as we humble our hearts and ask you to take this great topic, Lord, you wanted us to ascend to the heights tonight. Lord, you wanted us to engage with you and to connect in prayer, in faith believing. And I ask you, dear God, that you would help us not to just have some list of needs, because you already know the needs. But Lord, that we would also spend time communing with you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is there one person here who would say, preacher, everyone in here probably thinks I'm saved. Everyone in here probably thinks that I've been saved for a long time. But honestly, in my heart, I don't know. I don't have that settled. I don't have the assurance that if I died right now, that heaven would be my home. And to be honest with you, God is speaking to my heart right now. Would you invite Him into your life? Before you leave here tonight, right where you sit, will you pray this to the Lord? Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for dying for me on the cross. Thank You for raising from the dead. I pray that You forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and my life and save my soul. I'm trusting You, Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Lord, I mean this with all my heart. Thank You for saving me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We'll dismiss in just a moment. Before I do, with no one looking, if you'd say, "Preacher, God spoke to my heart and I'm glad You gave an opportunity to pray. I needed to do that and I did it before the Lord and I want to give Him praise. I asked Him to save me and I meant it." Would you slip your hand up and take it down and I can rejoice with you? Would you do that? God spoke to my heart tonight and I took His gift of salvation. I received that. Lord Jesus, there's probably, based on no hands, the gospel of Jesus Christ has fallen in good soil. And Lord, I thank You that the people would probably give a testimony of salvation. But Lord, I cannot take that for granted. I pray now that You would help us in our growing walk with You, in our prayer life, in the intercession of the Holy Spirit helping us. I pray that You would help us to walk with You daily. In Jesus' precious name.